When will it be safe enough for sports to return? That's a question many fans have been asking throughout this pandemic. It's also a question that is extremely hard to answer for authorities and sports officials all over the world. In Germany, a nation that has been applauded for being more successful than most in keeping its coronavirus infection rate low, professional men's soccer returned last weekend after a two-month break. But games were different. They were held without fans in the stands. Players and coaches had all been quarantined before the matches, and everybody involved is subject to repeated COVID-19 tests. Sports leagues everywhere, including here in the U.S., are considering similar scenarios for their restarts. So is soccer leading the way back to competitive sports? We're going to talk about that now with Roger Bennett, who covers soccer for NBC Sports, and he is the co-host of the Men in Blazers podcast. Raj, welcome back.
Oh, Double M, it is a joy to hear your voice.
Likewise. Well, first of all, as a soccer fan, or as you would say, a football fan, how have you been handling the last 2 months without your favorite sport?
You know, for me, as someone that uses football, but sports of all kinds to experience human emotions like happiness or sadness, hope, shattered dreams, things that people who are normal feel in real life, but I'm long numb to. The lack of sport has been fairly devastating, a bit like a phantom limb. Yet, even I'm fully aware, Michelle, of the existential danger that we're all in at this time of pandemic. And missing sports, even for me, I realize it's a luxury compared to the fight to eat, to work, and even breathe. There's a legendary football manager of the 1970s and 80s, a Liverpool legend called Bill Shankly, who used to famously say, "Football isn't a matter of life or death. It's much more important than that." And over the past 7 weeks, that's been shown to be very wrong.
Well, what did you think of Germany's restart plan? I mean, how did you experience it? What did you think of it?
Well, on one level, it was magnificent. The pre-game excitement for me was as great as any game outside of a World Cup. But these closed-door games, what they call in Germany, Geisspiele, ghost games, the Germans always have a word for it. You know, the whole sports world was watching. Everybody I spoke to in the NFL, in the NHL, in the NBA were as tuned into it as the world of football. And it was a weird spectacle. It was football shorn of handshakes, of spitting, and most importantly, of fans. It was just the players, the coaches, the match officials in the stadium. And the most joyous thing in the 90 minutes of the game that I watched, the first game, which was engrossing, was exhilarating, was incredibly calming, there was, for that time, again, all sports fans were connected via Twitter to a global conversation, a human conversation that embraced the whole world like a giant joyous eclipse in a positive way that only sports could provide.
Well, you know, on the other end of it, though, I think it would be fair to say the most prestigious soccer league in the world right now is the English Premier League.
True.
They're looking at possibly restarting in June, but a few of the players have voiced concerns that it's too soon or that they could bring the virus home to their families. Is that likely to derail plans to restart?
So the Premier League has grappled with the desire to come back, a desire that's been enhanced by the fact that the teams will lose $1 billion if they cannot complete the season, which has 9 games to go, from broadcasters around the world who paid for a complete season. So the teams are desperate to get back. Many of the players are afraid, particularly there's a demographic in England called BAME, Black Asian Minority Ethnic, and the difference in COVID-19 death rates between white Britons and Black Asian and Minority Ethnic Britons, I think it's up to 10 times more for those who are of the BAME demographic. So a lot of the black players have said, we will not come back, particularly ones who have kids. There's a player, Troy Deeney, who has a 5-month-old child with serious asthma. He's refused to come back and train. He says he's asked simple questions about the health protocols and gotten no answers right now. But the Premier League does want to come back. The $1 billion means it needs to come back hell or high water. So expect English ghost games to fill our screens again by the end of June. And if they do, my Lord, the nation will love every single second of them.
And what about that, though? I mean that there are some leagues in Europe, I think in the Netherlands, France, and Scotland, for example. How would you describe what they decided to do? They just said
voided. They voided.
Right. And so whatever team was on top, are the champions. So what is the thinking about that?
Well, the leagues that have cancelled in the Netherlands, in France, in Scotland, there's no financial imperative to continue. And they are balancing entertainment and commercial interests and morality. But when you speak to Premier League owners, they say it's not just about starting. Ultimately, they are expecting that this is the new normal that they may have to adapt to for several years. And it's an industry which is huge money, but it also has incredible cash flow problems. I think Warren Buffett once said, it's only when the tide goes out, you realize who's been swimming naked. Mm-hmm. And a number of these big British clubs, a number of major American sports teams too, have no option from a cash flow perspective other than to try and throw themselves back into action. And when the Bundesliga was about to start, the head of the Bundesliga, Christian Seifert, he said, this is not going to be perfect. It's fragile, but it's going to be the best imperfect it can be. And I think British football and ultimately American sports will follow that pathway.
That was Roger Bennett of NBC Sports and co-host of the Men in Blazers podcast. Always a pleasure, Roz. Good to hear your voice. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, Michelle, courage.